What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. Ryan Lombardi alongside my co-host here, Coach Raz. How are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Believe it or not, it's fall's winding down, right? How fast did that go?
But with the fall winding down, that means fall ball is winding down. So overall, just how did the fall go?
I mean, I think the idea of fall is to be able to get an idea of players' roles and, you know, what the rotation's going to kind of look like for pitching and hitting and positions and lineup and all that. And I think, you know, going into the fall, there was definitely a lot of things we wanted to work out and see. And I think the fall gave us a great opportunity to get that done. And, you know, I feel like we got a really good grasp on who we are and the squad that we have this year. So, you know, I would say mission accomplished.
And can you just go a little deeper into that who we are statement?
You know, just players battling it out, right? Like going out and showing us the capabilities they have to play at this level and what kind of an impact they can have in a game. And, you know, you just saw guys throughout the fall have moments, you know, and you don't have to have a moment every game. You just have to have a moment that sticks in your brain a little bit and you remember somebody doing something and then you know, what you want to know if the stats are going to kind of match up with what your eyes are telling you as a coaching staff, right? So it's great. You know, we've talked about this before about being really feeling really good about our catcher situation, right? You know, we had a returning guy in Antonio who played a lot last year. We got a freshman in Brian Carruthers that we're very high on. You know, and you wonder, like, you know, how good is this freshman? You know, like, is he as good of a player as we think he is as a coaching staff? But you got to kind of play out the fall and see how the numbers kind of line up. And, you know, you get into the Blood Bowl or the Bonnie Bowl draft, right? And you kind of see where guys get taken and the players' opinion on players, you know. And I think Brian's one of those guys that, you know, we've seen a lot. We liked what we saw. You know, the end of the fall numbers, all of a sudden, you know, he hit over 300 for the fall. He had three doubles. He tied us, you know, he had two home runs. You know, you see the power numbers and then he went pretty high in the Bonnie Bowl draft. So, you know, those things start to like check, you know, yeah. It makes you think, you know, we've got a player there and he's maybe going to have more of an impact than we originally thought coming straight out of high school. So you have a lot of those situations. Connor Vercolone, you know, somebody that redshirted last year and had a big summer. And it's like, okay, how does that carry into the fall? And, you know, he had a really good fall. So that gives us confidence in that kid and what his role is going to be with us. Chris Holcraft, I think coming into the fall, we were thinking that Chris was going to be an outfielder, you know, and hopefully a part of our lineup because, you know, he's been kind of groomed for that spot. And now he's our starting shortstop, you know, like he played a great shortstop all fall and kind of won that job. And,
you know, yeah, I'm just looking at his lineup. I have his fall highlight player right here on the Bonnie's Baseball Analytics page. If you don't follow it, definitely follow it. Your team does a really good job of putting that stuff out. But 325 average, 11 stolen bases, 13 RBIs, had a home run, and 11 stolen bases. That's a pretty high number for a guy like Chris Holcraft. And how has he been playing at shortstop?
He's played great. He's made plays. He's gotten the balls that you think can't be made, and he's made them. So it's, you know, he's done a really good job over there defensively. It's we're in a really good situation in the middle. I think, you know, when you want teams built strong through the middle, right? You want strong catchers. You want strong middle infield. You want a strong center fielder. And if that's the case, I mean, our best players are kind of up the middle, right? You know, Jay Starnish is our center fielder. You know, Holcraft and David Marshall's in the middle infield. And you got Antonio and Carruthers behind the dish. That's right up the middle. You know, and those guys are probably hitting, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 or what, some sort, you know. So I think that's always a good thing when the middle of your defense is the strongest part of your lineup. I think it says a lot about your squad, so. Yeah, I mean, that's why the fall is so important.
So, on the topic of the Bonnie Bowl, can you give me your steal of the draft?
Probably Jay Starnish, right? Probably the steal of the draft, considering he was the MVP. But, I mean, are you the steal of the draft when you go, you know, third pick overall, you know? So it makes it, you know, it makes it kind of tough to say steal the draft. But, you know, I think the output was, you know, if anybody would have known the Bonnie Bullitt he was going to have, probably would have pushed him up to the one pick. But
and Holcraft was the one, right?
Yeah. It went Chris, David Marshall.
Right. Chase. Okay. I mean, just overall, how did those games go? I mean, we could talk about, obviously, Team Roggenberg won the whole thing. They swept in all three categories. But how did the Bonnie Bowl come about, and how did you kind of define those categories, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I slipped up already on this podcast by calling it the Blood Bowl, because when I was at Herkimer, we did the Blood Bowl, which was, you know, we did a series like this. And, you know, at the time, the coaches picked the teams because you're dealing with a lot of freshmen.
Right.
On a team or transfers that are sophomores. So there's just not a lot of guys that have been there and the stability wise, you know, and when we did it there, the losing team would donate blood to the American Red Cross. So it was, you know, you kind of played for blood. It was,
that's cool. I like that.
So when we got here, we wanted to do some version of that. We just, obviously the Bonnie Bowl sounds great. So, but we changed the format a little bit as far as adding the categories. So it puts more of an emphasis on every inning. You know, which is great. I mean, Team Roggenberg had won both games, 1 and 2. If it was a normal just 3-game series, it would have been over, right? But the reality is that Team Little Demos had a chance to win it on Saturday. You know, like they have a big game, which can happen, right? If they had a big game and won by a blowout, you know, they could have won the whole Bonnie Bowl. So I like having the emphasis on innings and run differential and, you know, in those type of things to kind of keep every inning important, that lack of that focus on every inning, every pitch.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, so what are those three categories?
So the first one is the series, right?
Yep.
It's whoever wins 2 out of 3. The next one is innings 1, but it's almost like golf skins, right? Where if you tie, it carries over.
Okay.
So, like, if a score is 0-0 in the first, 0-0 in the second, the third inning's worth 3 innings.
Three innings. Okay, gotcha.
Right? So it's most innings won. And then the last category is run different, like the difference between the scores. So,
yeah.
You know, like I said, going into the last game, there was a chance. I mean, you know, a 10-0 game, a 9-0 game could have won it, but Team Roggenberg was just too strong. I mean, they had, you know, their 1-2, they had Connor Vercolone hitting leadoff, and it was like Connor, Jace, Holcraft, those three, they were just monsters.
Deadly three, and
they were monsters, man. They had a great body ball.
The contact hitters that really just are very tough out, so I can imagine. I mean, on the pitching side, who were some of the most impressive pitchers on the mound during the Bonnie Bowl?
You know, it's a little bit of a shortened outing, right? Like,
right.
So some guys are shut down. You know, they're not out there for a long period. You know, Alex Bardred, 2 good innings out there. You know, he wasn't up to a full pitch count either. You know, so there were some guys that had some success out there. You know, James Cabaluba was able to go throw his 3 innings and kind of secure that win in the third game. But, you know, I think everybody had some moments that were good. Some were bad. But by this time of the fall, the hitters have seen the pitchers a lot. So they're not fooling anybody with the stuff they have on the mound. You know, they may have seen a guy, you know, 6 or 7 times sometimes, you know. So it's, you know, you have a better idea of what they're coming after you with. And, you know, early on, the pitching kind of dominated the fall. And as we got closer to the end, the hitting had definitely caught up. So that's why there's a lot of runs scored.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this on this podcast, and you said the bats aren't really there right now. And I guess just, you know, a few weeks later, they are going. So, I mean, obviously, looking ahead, you still got a little while before the season really gets going. But just overall, how do you feel with the bats and the offense? How does that feel?
I mean, I feel really good about the talent level of the lineup, right? I think the big thing is actual production in season, right? Like, we know how good Jace Tharnish is, but he hasn't really put together a spring that's, you know, carried us. He's, you know, got injured and then was fighting back from an injury last year, wasn't 100% till the end of the year. Chris Holcraft's the guy that you know, has had a lot of moments the last 2 years, but statistically I wouldn't say that he's carried us at all the last 2 years. You know, where I think David Marshall's a guy that we know has done it. You know, he did it last year for over a whole season, so you can kind of count on that a little bit more when they've actually done it. So the talent's there. It's about actually getting the production within the numbers in the spring. You know, that's the big question mark. But, you know, I think we hit 2 home runs as a team last fall. We had 12 this fall. So, you know, there's definitely a talent uptick. There's definitely a lot of potential out there. It's just about going out and put up numbers now.
Gotcha. Love that. If you had to give maybe your top 3 most surprising players that you weren't really unsure about heading into the fall, and you know, you kind of get into the fall and they really shocked you, who would those be?
I mean, Connor probably stands out, right? I think Connor is definitely somebody that.
Such a versatile player.
Yeah, but he, you know, he flashes a lot of tools too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's got a really good arm. He can run steal bases. He's got some juice in his bat. He runs really, really well. So, you know, he's somebody that we thought was talented, but you know, you have to get him out there and play and see what it comes up with. And I just think that what we saw from him overall was very good. And a bit surprising. I mean, we always knew we had the ability to do it, but actually putting it together and doing it, I thought was good. I would say Alex Hebenstreit is another guy that kind of popped up on the scene for us. Again, another kid that is, you know, the talent's there. You know, he didn't get a huge opportunity in JUCO. He came from a really good JUCO.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was a JUCO kid, right?
Yeah, yep. And, you know, the 3 outfielders that were out there all went Division I as well, and he just kind of didn't get a lot of run, but when he did get run, he was really good. And he's 6'7", so, you know, a big monster at the plate like that, you want to know how well he's going to adapt to this level, and he had a great fall, you know, hit .290 and popped a couple home runs for us, and the ability to do that is certainly within that body. So it's a big presence at the plate. He's a monster. So it's good to see him have some success. I think he's put himself in the mix for that DH spot to get some runs out there. So, you know, I thought that he was a pleasant surprise for us for sure. We expect Tharnish to do well. We expect Marshall to do well. We expect Holcraft to do well. You know, we have high expectations for Antonio and Carruthers behind the plate. You know, Morgan, somebody we expect to do well. So there's a lot of that. You know, Paul Vossen's coming back from a surgery. He wasn't out there full time, but we expect him to do well too. So, you know, I think Connor and Alex are probably the two that pop out as pleasant surprises, but yeah.
Nice. I mean, I don't know if you can give this to me and you could say no, but if you could put out your lineup for opening day 2025, what would that look like?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and here's the thing. It is 100% guarantee that the lineup we run out on opening day will not be the same lineup at the end of the year.
Of course.
And that's a fact. Like, so there's a lot of time between now and then. Obviously, matchups play a part of it, right? I think matchups play a big part of it. But I think that we have a pretty good idea of the rotation of players, you know, the guys that are going to get the majority of at-bats and things like that. It's just how that all fits in a lineup. A long winter, you know, a lot of video film work. There's a lot of weight room time between now and then, so you never know. But I think you can count on Jace Tharnish, David Marshall, and Chris Holcraft being at the top of the lineup. You know, I think that's a given.
100%.
The rest of it will kind of filter its way out.
Of course. I mean, yeah, well, I mean, obviously, we'll see the lineup change, especially throughout the spring. But you mentioned, sorry, I'm like blanking right here.
That's all right.
Good. You mentioned just like the matchup stuff and the different things you look at for in matchups. What are some of the specifics of that?
Well, I mean, DH, right? Like, mm-hmm. So if we're going to run out of DH, we're probably not going to put a left-handed hitter in there if there's a left-handed pitcher, you know. So just little things like that can kind of matter. You know, I there's just a lot of things that can be worked out between now and then. But you never know. You know, maybe someone's a better fastball hitter than or maybe someone's a better breaking ball hitter. Maybe we see a pitcher that's going to be a lot more breaking stuff. Maybe we see a guy that's just going to be a high velo guy. You know, so you start to take those things into consideration when you start making the lineup.
Gotcha. So, I mean, just looking ahead, what do the next few weeks look like? And then when does, I guess, when do you guys really start to ramp up for that spring?
So, you know, there's been some changes within the NCAA. You know, in the past, you basically could get started 2 weeks before your first game, is your like your first official practice day. The NCAA has changed that. I think it was a concern for all coaches about pitchers not coming back off of break ready, and trying to get those arms ready in 2 weeks was always a big stress component of many coaches across the country. So,
especially now.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, having those 35 days before your first game gives us a little bit. We're going to probably have a little bit closer to a pro model where pitchers and catchers report early.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
And then the hitters may come in a little bit after that. But they're in their individual sessions now. So basically we get them for 4 hours a week. You know, pitchers will throw a 25-pitch bullpen once a week now to keep their arms going. This is where we'll do a lot of film work with the hitters and pitchers and kind of break down mechanics a little bit. And this pretty much carries us into Thanksgiving break. And then you guys got finals, like, right after Thanksgiving. So, like, our contact with them pretty much stops at Thanksgiving break. And then we don't get them back till January. So it's stressful, but we give them a plan. You know, we give them a workout plan, a throwing plan that they need to kind of carry out through December, you know, the end of November, December, and January. So when they do come back, they're, you know, hopefully ready to go. And the guys that don't aren't going to be ready. And you can tell as a coach who's not been doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the guys that do what they're supposed to do are usually ready to rock. So it's a stressful time. I wish we could have more contact with them. But it is what it is. It's just the landscape of what we're dealing with.
And I mean, I guess that for those no contact months for you, what does that look like as a coach?
I mean, always recruiting, brother, right? Recruiting, fundraising, planning. You know, we got to get our trips together, our hotels and our transportation, and get all that stuff done. You know, finalizing any gear order, you know, things like that we need to get in here. But definitely, you know, start forecasting the recruiting piece. You know, we got signing day come up in November, so we're trying to get ready for that. You know, we'll have, you know, things that are affiliated within the program. You know, our Diamond Club dinner happens in January usually, so things like that we got to, you know, work on and get planned out. But just to prepare for the season and continue to recruit and continue to raise funds, you know, keep attaching the alumni to help.
Crazy world of college athletics now.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's what makes Bonnie's great, right, is the pride in this place and the alumni, the strength of our alumni. You know, it makes things possible here. So, you know, we couldn't be building what we're building without, you know, the support of our alumni and their donations. So it's a critical piece for us, for sure.
Definitely. The power of the Bonnie's alum, is it's just so powerful. We had the Hellinger Awards last week here on campus, for the Jan Dolley School 75th anniversary, and just meeting with all the alumni was really surreal. They just love this place so much, and it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Really is. And you just see, especially at the basketball games, basketball season's starting up. You excited for sure? Are you going to be at any of the basketball games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a big basketball guy. I mean, I grew up on Syracuse hoops more than anything.
Orange.
Yeah. I mean, it's really close to my house, and, you know, coming out here and seeing the passion for St. Bonaventure hoops, the last 2 years, I've definitely been a lot more attached to what's going on in this building than I am down the road at the Carrier Dome. So I love Coach Smith. You know, I really do. I love talking to him. He's been a great resource for me. If I have questions or things like that, like, you wouldn't, you know, he's sat down with a recruit for me before. Like, he's great, you know. So I love Coach. I love his assistants. I love Matt Papano, his ops guy. I mean, just that whole crew is really cool. We're in the same hallway on the same level, you know. So I see those guys a lot, and, you know, I always say hi to the players and talk to those guys. So, yeah, I love it. I love, you know, my son does the D DJ booth at the games, so, you know, it's the whole family. My wife likes to come. The kids like to come to the games, so, yeah, we love it, man.
That's great.
I'm fired up for the season to start.
No, I am too. What are your expectations for them this year?
Tough to have expectations, man.
That's what I'm saying. You
know, I think it's a different climate. I think the only thing that I can say is in Coach Schmidt, I trust, right? Like, I think that we have one of the best coaches, and he'll get them right, you know, and either they buy in and they, you know, come together and they play really well, or, you know, they fight the power and it becomes more of a difficult season. But you just don't know what you're going to get when you're dealing with that many transfers.
That's tough. That many transfers, and especially when not a ton of them have played Division I basketball before. So I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was really upset that they were projected to finish like 10th in the A-10. And I was like, dude, there's just so much unknown. They could be really good and shock the world, but you never know with this group of guys if they can come together and, like you said, buy into what they want to do.
It's chemistry, man. They start believing in themselves and their teammates and, you know, make things move. I always love that about Syracuse, right? Like, early in the year, every year growing up, right? Every year. Everybody wants to fire Boeheim within the first 2 months of the season, right? And it's like, it just, like, it takes time for those teams to mesh. Like, I think Cuse dealt with it so much because they would lose players early to the draft. And it's like, they were reloading a lot. And it took so much time for, like, the 3-2 defense to get its flow, to get its bounce. And you would see it, like, as the year would go on, they just started to have rhythm in their feet and the way they bounced. And by tournament time, Syracuse was always a menace because that zone was popping, right? You could see the flow of it. And you just see teams continually get better throughout the year during those time periods. I think that's the same thing with Coach Schmidt. Like, I think you see, you know, early it's going to be trying to figure it out, but you'll see his teams get better as the year goes on and settle into rotation, the guys that mix well. So, I love it, man. I'm pumped.
I'm also pumped. This place is just buzzing. We got Woj, Grand Slam, all that. So really, really looking forward to it. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Baseball Rundown.
One left.
One left for the fall.
Yeah, one left for the fall.
Yeah.
We'll preview the signees in November and kind of put a wrap on it before the holidays. And the fall will be in the books. Just like, so you have one left of the fall.
Man. Yeah. And then we'll hit the spring. We'll hit the ground running in the spring for the season. I'm so excited for that. I'm sure you're itching to start.
I am.
Itching for that pitchers and catchers report date. But all right. Thank you so much, Coach Raz. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was the Baseball Rundown on the Bonnies Online Network. We'll see you guys next time.